Good afternoon. My name is Joanna Sandalos, and today I will have the pleasure of chatting with ASPET President John Lazo. Dr. Lazo is currently a pharmacology and chemistry professor at the University of Virginia School of Medicine, as well as associate dean for basic research. Dr. Lazo, what first drew you to study pharmacology, and how did you first get involved with drug discovery?
Thank you, Joanna.
Well, I was a undergraduate chemistry major and was looking for a summer job. I was lucky because I had a scholarship, so I didn't need to make a whole lot of money, and was fortunate to be placed in a pharmacology department with Wolfgang Vogel at the Thomas Jefferson Medical University, and he had a summer stipend, a summer program. He had already promised one student, so we split the stipend. So I got $50 a week, to which was a lot in those days, which paid for bus ride into Philadelphia. And so that's how I first got hooked into pharmacology. And when I graduated with a chemistry degree, wanted to try to apply chemistry to biological questions. And I got into drug discovery actually rather late. When I started, there wasn't anything called drug discovery. And what really stimulated my interest in that area was actually a postdoctoral fellow that I had in my laboratory, Said Septi, who got excited about trying to develop approaches to identify new therapeutic agents, in primarily in cancer. So that's how I got started.
It seems as though high-throughput technology, widely used in the pharmaceutical industry, is becoming more prevalent in academic lab settings. How do you think that these capabilities will change the landscape of academic research and the training of graduate students and postdocs?
Well, it's already had major changes, I think, in what people in academic laboratories can do, the questions that they can ask. It's now large libraries are readily available either through commercial organizations or even through the NIH. People can now attempt to find at least lead compounds using instrumentation that didn't exist 5 or 7 or 10 years ago in academia. And it's also had an interesting effect on the careers of individuals. So in the past, if a person in academia went into industry, it was generally a one-way street. And you're seeing many places now where people from industry are coming back into academia. People are going back and forth. And I think that really enriches the environment, provides an opportunity for graduate students to see individuals who've had experience in the private sector. It provides a very different landscape, because when you're in industry, you do things differently than you do it in academia. And it's been interesting to see how the NIH has actually embraced trying to cultivate public-private partnerships and relationships between industry and academia at a time when there's also some concern that maybe the relationship is too close. So in bringing benefits in terms of differences in experiences, one also needs to be thoughtful about ensuring that the academic research remains academic and true to its mission, but also helps to move forward new drugs that might be helpful for people.
At what point in your academic journey did you first join ASPET, and what aspects of your membership did you find to be most useful?
So when I first joined ASPET as a faculty member, and in those days they didn't have student memberships. One had to get a large number of people to certify that you were actually doing pharmacology. That's completely changed now. The society has really embraced a recruitment policy which encourages all sorts of individuals, and there are so many of them now that are doing pharmacology from other fields. What I think is the advantage of being associated with ASPET is that you get to network with people that aren't necessarily in your narrow disease area. So what I like is being able to talk to neuroscientists, cardiovascular researchers, people interested in behavioral pharmacology and drug metabolism, that really are asking, in some cases, very same questions that I'm asking in my research, but come at it a very different angle. So I think it provides a dimension that if you're interested in drugs, it's really very important because we have drugs for many, many different diseases.
In your opinion, what are some of the greatest challenges facing young pharmacologists today? And how can ASPET help them overcome these challenges?
So I think for a young pharmacologist, the real challenge is that there's so much information out there. And how do you actually harness it? How do you find the information you need? How not to be too narrow, but on the other hand, to be focused on your questions. Obviously, young pharmacologists are thinking about jobs, thinking about funding. I like to tell people that if you are a pharmacologist, you're not just a neuroscientist, you're not just a cardiovascular or cell biologist. You really have to have their skills and then some more things. So I think that the challenges for people right now is moving from being a student into employment. I like to tell my students and anybody that'll listen that there are always jobs out there. If anything, this is really the golden period of pharmacology. So while it's a difficult time right now, I do think that it's an exciting time, and the young pharmacologists have an opportunity to bring some very, very powerful tools to the area of experimental therapeutics.
What is ASPET planning to do in order to facilitate mentoring between junior and more senior members?
Oh, we have lots of things. So, first of all, ASPET's been very, very aggressive in social network. We have a Twitter site, we have a Facebook site. I encourage everybody to take a look at that. Just go on the ASPET website. We have mixers at the experimental biology meeting. You'll be able to meet the president at the experimental and all the officers. There's also women in pharmacology, social hour at the experimental biology meeting. The GPCR meeting, which is a fabulous meeting that we have, is an opportunity to have more senior members interact with junior members. So I also think that we're part of the FACEB Career Center. And so if you do go to experimental biology, the ASPET meeting, you can take advantage of that. I'll stop. Got carried away. You got a YouTube too.
Yeah.
Take a look at our YouTube.
What can ASPET and its members do to influence public policy and express to Washington the importance of funding basic research?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This is a really trying time. It's hard for the public to completely understand the need for pharmacological research, and particularly in academia, but also to continue the funding for new therapies for rare diseases. So one of the things that ASPET has done this year is to have the ASPET Fellows, Washington Fellows. We have 13 fellows that have come from a whole variety of different schools, including University of Michigan, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, Medical University of South Carolina, Johns Hopkins. And these individuals spend time in Washington, D.C., talking to their representatives as well as other representatives and get a very intense experience in public policy. And then we're hoping they'll take that back to their home institutions, their home states, and we'll help broadcast this to the local individuals and then also to help explain to other students how you can be active. It's very difficult when you're sitting in the lab worrying about your experiments to say, well, should I really be involved in public policies? And a lot of people are uncomfortable with that. So we will also be having events at the experimental biology meeting that will attempt to help people, enable people to learn how to contact their local representatives, how to work with local officials to increase public support for research in pharmacology.
Great. How can ASPET strengthen its ties to its members?
Well, that's also a very good question. We have a new initiative going on right now at ASPET, looking at our outreach with members, and hopefully that will be finished by the early spring, and you'll see some new initiatives that will come out of that that are really designed to fulfill the members' needs. We've been taking surveys, having focus groups. Also, I would say that the place where ASPET really can strengthen its membership is in its divisions. So we have a variety of different divisions that help meet the individual needs of the members, whether they're in education, whether it's in drug metabolism, in neuropharmacology, in drug discovery and development. So I believe that ASPET can really make a major impact with its members by encouraging their involvement in the division activities and to participate in the national meetings, and also to become involved with the journals and in the journal reviewing process. So we're trying to make sure that younger members in particular have an opportunity to participate in editorial boards and review the journal articles that come into the journals.
What are some of ASPET's greatest challenges going forward, and how is the society planning to conquer them?
Joanna, again, that's a great question. One of the big challenges is publications. So the society, a significant fraction of the society's funding comes from proceeds associated with publications. We're seeing a very dramatic change in open access in the way in which publishers of scientific journals are able to provide that information and remain economically viable. And really nobody knows at this point what's going to happen there. So the society is trying very hard to ensure that it is both meeting the needs of its members as well as the needs of society, but remaining viable. The other big challenge for the society is that its members belong to large pharmaceutical companies, they belong to universities, both under siege right now. Big pharmaceutical companies decreasing the number of scientists that they're employing, and the obvious financial issues associated with federal funding. I think the other challenge that I see for the society is to reach out in a more meaningful way to the pharmacologists that are in biotechnology companies, particularly those very small ones, where the individuals are clearly trying to participate in or are participating in pharmacological research. And they need an organization like ASPET. And then finally, we work in a very flat world. So pharmacology isn't just in America, but it's throughout the world. And so one of the challenges for the society is to have a meaningful interaction with other pharmacological societies. And we actually are doing that right now. We're hoping to launch with the British Pharmacological Society a new journal, which will be a very interesting open access journal. That will be one of our efforts to try to reach out to other societies that are interacting with pharmacology.
Great. You've already touched on EB a little bit, but I see there's already a preliminary program available online for the annual meeting. What are you most looking forward to at Experimental Biology this year?
Well, that's a fabulous, fabulous schedule. We've got two Nobel laureates speaking at our GPCR colloquium, which is right after that. We have a session on sleep apnea that I'm looking forward to seeing. We have a session on wakefulness. We have a session on enhancers of cognition, pharmacological enhancers of cognition. I'll put in a plug for my systems pharmacology session that we'll be holding on Wednesday. Rick Neubig and I are going to be hosting this session to try to show how computational pharmacology and systems pharmacology can help in looking for new therapies. So there's an awful lot of really exciting programming, and I encourage everybody to take a look at it. If you're a graduate student, go to the Graduate Student Colloquium. That's going to be a really good colloquium, as well as the Axelrod Lecture. That will be fabulous. And there's also a very nice session on translating pharmacology into career choices in the pharmaceutical and biotechnology sectors that Janet Clark from Drexel is going to be presenting.
Sounds exciting. Now, do you have any additional comments or career advice you would like to offer our postdoc members specifically?
Well, I'd say keep up being a member of ASPET. I think that the networking can help you. I do think that, as I said in the beginning of this, that this is really the golden age of pharmacology. Never have we had so many powerful tools. They ask so many powerful questions. So I do believe that there's great hope in the future for us to be able to apply our pharmacological skills throughout the world in both the common diseases, but also in the more neglected and rare diseases.
Great, thank you. It was a pleasure chatting with you, and hope to see you at EB this year.
Great.